up, Yap Squad, and welcome back to the Yap Sesh podcast. My name is Sawyer. I'm here with my co-host, Brooke, and we are Yap Sesh, a fangirl podcast where we discuss all things fandom and nerdy and hope to share the experiences of women and queer fans everywhere. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our YouTube channel, and make sure to subscribe and follow us so you never miss an episode. How you doing, Brooke?
I'm chilling. When we're recording this, I don't know when it's going to get actually released, but it's Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
So I've had a nice, long, relaxing weekend, not too stressful with family and stuff. So I'm chilling. How about you? How's your weekend?
Oh my God. I'm so stressed out. Couldn't be more opposite if I tried. I'm just trying to finish my master's degree right now. And
yeah.
It's not that I've done a lot of work this weekend. It's that all of the work that I still have to do is at the forefront of my mind. And it's like, mm-hmm. I can't relax, even though I'm like on track. I'm good. But I need this Yap Sesh for my brain to just chill.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't miss school at all. Godspeed. Godspeed is all I can say. But yeah, I've got like a cozy, warm beverage. I've got my apple cider with cinnamon in my R2-D2. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see my cool R2-D2 cup that I got at Disney World away like 10 years ago, probably now, almost. And yeah, it's cold in my house, but I'm surviving.
It is cold here, yeah, on the East Coast. Finally, we had kind of a weird non-fall fall, but now it's starting to get real mm-hmm. cold.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we have any announcements?
Not too many. Just a reminder that we do have a Patreon, and you should join it. You can join it for just $1. And if you join it at the lowest dollar tier, you can also join our Discord, where we talk about things sometimes. And we're going to hopefully, maybe in the new year, start hosting some more like community events and watch-alongs and game nights and things, I think. And we've got like all of our previous guests get an invitation to come in. So anything you want to ask our guests who maybe there's something that we didn't discuss on the pod that you want to ask them, great place for that. Join, give us money.
Yes. And also coming up for the month of December and into January, we are going to be doing re-yaps again for Skeleton Crew. Super excited for a new Star Wars show coming out. And we have a special co-host, Megalorian. If you watched our episode on tabletop games, you will see a familiar face. And if not, they are so wonderful and we couldn't be more excited to have them joining us for those re-yaps. So look out for those. They're going to be weekly after every mm-hmm. episode to do a little recap or re-yap, as it were, before the new episode drops.
Yeah. And I know, Sawyer, I think you're hosting watch parties in your Discord for Skeleton
yep.
Crew.
Yep.
Cool. So on Tuesday nights, you can watch with Sawyer in her Discord, which is linked in all your socials, I think.
Indeed. Yep.
And then you can yap with us the following Monday, I think, before the next new episode, and listen to our re-yap and go through all the predictions and stuff. I'm also going to be doing reaction videos with my friend Chris, Star Wars Lawyer, on his YouTube channel for the Skeleton. I was like, what is this show called? Skeleton yeah. Crew. So that'll be fun too, because it's been a while since I've done some Star Wars reaction vids. So it'll be pretty cool.
Very exciting. Also, one more thing. If you are a listener on Spotify, I don't know how you're going to hear this, but we're having trouble uploading to Spotify. So check out Apple Podcasts if you would just want to listen, or if you want to see our beautiful faces, you can always go over to our YouTube channel to watch new episodes. We're trying to figure it out. It's not working on either of our ends, but stay tuned, because we will let you know on the socials when we figure that out. But that's all we have for updates. So without further ado, let's get into our episode. We've got an exciting one for you today and a great guest. So let's bring her in.
Hello.
Hi, that's crazy about Spotify. That's actually where I listen to your guys' podcast.
So. It won't upload. I don't know. It will not upload every time on either of our computers. It's just like error.
Yeah, I wonder how far behind I am then. Like, what has it uploaded that I haven't listened to?
I think it's just the last like two episodes that we haven't put up, mostly because A, I forgot, and then when I tried, it wasn't working. So
that's fair. I've been going through like the back catalog, so I haven't reached like the new ones yet, but hopefully you'll figure it out by the time I get there.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for listening.
Of course. Of
course. But Crystal, would you like to introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about who you are, where we can find you?
Yeah, so my name is Crystal, like the Kyber crystals in Star Wars, and I make YouTube videos where I talk about Star Wars and I do my makeup at the same time. I also exist on other platforms like Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky occasionally. what am I missing? TikTok, but I don't really post on there anymore. And I also have a fandom forward clothing brand where I have a Star Wars drop out right now. But, you know, it's mostly a place for me to put all my interests into one thing to share with everyone. So, I mean, there's a lot there, but that's a good summary of who I am and what I do.
Love. Yeah, that's awesome. We'll put all of Crystal's info in the description of the episode so you can check all of that cool stuff out. But Sawyer, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we are talking about makeup and beauty in fandom, which is so exciting. Crystal, in your real life, you are a makeup artist, correct?
Yes, I'm a professional makeup artist. I work in commercial print, and yeah, it's fun. I've been doing it for about 10 years now.
That's so cool.
That kind of goes in, I guess, to like our first couple questions about... Actually, you know what? We'll get to it because we have our little icebreaker question first. Because we're fangirls in this house, we like to ask all of our guests, what is your first fandom that you remember being a part of, and what's your favorite fandom? If we can't already tell.
right, exactly. My favorite fandom is Star Wars, of course, but my very first fandom is the Avatar The Last Airbender fandom, specifically the Tumblr era.
Amazing.
It was so fun.
Love. I was just talking about Avatar over Thanksgiving. My stepsister's boyfriend has an Avatar tattoo. Ooh. And he did not watch the live action series, and he was like, I don't know if I want to watch it. And I was like, it was aggressively fine.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Avatar fan, but I really love the animated series. And so when I was like, I'll watch it. It was like fine. You know, I don't know. Crystal, did you watch it?
Yeah, I had to. Agree. It was fine. I liked some of the changes they made, but like, because I love Avatar so much, it's like a comfort show with me. Mm-hmm. I just have it on in the background all the time. Some of the changes I just didn't understand. I'm like, the story is laid out for you. Like, why are we rearranging things, you know? Mm-hmm. But some of the added subtext, I think, was really great. But overall, I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, that's what my thoughts were like. I don't think it like shit all over the original series as far as an adaptation goes. I just, some of the choices they made were kind of confusing. I think my favorite part was the girl who played Suki.
Oh, yeah.
And she was only in the one episode. I don't care. I love her. I can't wait to see her again. I'll watch the next season specifically for Suki appearances. But cool. So I was going to ask, what this kind of goes into our like first question, because I think all three of us are makeup interested people. So for you, since you do it professionally, I wanted to ask, when did you first get into beauty and makeup, and then when did you decide that's like what you wanted to do with your career?
So I think I got into makeup pretty late, actually. I think I was like 19 or 20, because my mom, she was like a really strict parent and like would not let me wear makeup. I got caught putting on eyeliner, and I would like take it off, you know, before I got home, and she caught me and I got in a lot of trouble. So I always like joke around with her now. I'm like, oh, I'm a makeup artist because I'm overcompensating for you not letting me wear makeup as a child. but yeah, I actually when I was younger, I really wanted to be a model. Like, I wanted to do photo shoots, and I tried it for a while. I didn't get signed. But there just got to be a certain point where I was like, okay, well, this is not working for me. Like, no one's signing me, but I still want to be in the industry. What do I want to do? And so I was always kind of interested in makeup. I started taking classes at like my community college for theater makeup, because I'm a theater kid, by the way. So I started doing like stage makeup, and then it just grew from there. And because I had tried to model for so many years, I had so many photographers and people in the industry that I already knew. So it was really easy for me to like break in to the industry, because I could just message these people and be like, hey, I do makeup now. And there's like 10 times more jobs behind the camera than there is in front of the camera. So I'm just very lucky to have like gone into it like in a, I guess, a non-traditional way. But I love it. Thank God I was good at it, because girl, I don't know what I would have done.
It's good. Yeah, it's good you had the connections to network a little bit too. I feel like that might have made it a little bit easier. Do you have like an end goal or like a dream job that you would want to work on? Like, would you ever want to go into TV or movies or like special effects, anything like that?
Right. I mean the ultimate dream job for me is Star Wars, obviously.
Of course.
I don't work in TV or film, so I don't know how that would happen. And I also don't know if they use like makeup artists that are in the union. So I don't really know about that. I mean, maybe it's just like one of those dreams that, you know, it's just a dream. But I would love to do like bigger beauty campaigns. I've done a few for like Milani Cosmetics and Pacifica Beauty. And I work for a lot of bigger brands, but I would love to do something like for Ismaya or Pat McGrath, or like something that's like really big and like in Sephora. Like, I would love to walk into Sephora and be like,
that would be really cool.
Yeah. One day. Maybe next year. Who knows?
There's a makeup influencer that I'm mutuals with, Cut Creaser. I don't know if you guys know her.
Yes.
But she does the most incredible nerdy makeup looks, and I would love her to have her on the show at some point. But she just finally got on a campaign that was in Sephora, and she got to go. And I'm so excited for her, because that's so amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
She's so awesome. Great. Her work is I love the way she's able to translate like a character into her
look. I know. It's so crazy. She's so cool. You are also so cool, and you've done some incredible makeup looks. Your Ventress for Ventress Day, that was amazing. Loved it.
Thank you.
That was fun. I'm having my first buffering moment.
I would love to know, like, Sawyer, I don't think we've ever talked about this. Like, when did you first get into makeup and stuff too? Because I know for me, I think it was like 20. I mean, words are hard today. I'm also buffering. I think I started wearing makeup in like middle school. My parents weren't super strict, but my mom like didn't want me to wear a ton. So I think I started with like concealer and like foundation, just because I had like, I didn't have terrible acne, but it was bothersome enough to me that I was like, I want to cover this up. And I definitely wore too much eyeliner for my wannabe scene kid days. But it really wasn't until like 2015, 2016, like beauty YouTube era, that I really learned how to do makeup and like went crazy buying stuff. And I still have, you know, all my palettes and shit that I bought back then that I still use. I don't care if it's expired. I'm going to use it because I paid money for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I learned how to do makeup that way. And I like look back at old photos and I'm like, damn, girl, tone it down. But I like that I have the nice foundation, if you will, of knowing how to do my makeup and where to put things. So I'm grateful for that hyperfixation I had.
You probably slayed.
Yeah. I would love to see some photos.
I'll have to find some.
For me, I think it was the same. I did struggle with acne as a kid, and that's something that I still struggle with. And like, I've always had, you know, I've always been a little insecure about that. And so I remember, I am pretty sure it was Clinique that my mom, like, she did research and she was like, oh, okay, we'll go to Sephora and pick out these Clinique products. And I think that was like my first makeup that I started with. But yeah, I started getting into really colorful makeup in high school. And that was kind of around the time that beauty influencers started to become really popular. And I watched all of them and I was very much, I also have a thing about people like touching me, like I need to do all my makeup myself and stuff, and so like I autism but like I've always done my own eyebrows and I've always done my own makeup, and so I just taught myself how to do all the cool things that I saw other people doing. And I would go to my regular, you know, I would wake up really early and put green eyeshadow on, and I would walk out the door like that, or like crazy eyeliner, whatever. And I remember very vividly the Infinity War premiere. I did this look, and that was the first time I think I had ever done like colorful eyeliner. And I remember doing, it was like a gold lid with a purple eyeliner, and it was so sick. It was like Thanos, and it was one of the coolest looks I'd ever done at that point. And that's when I really started to go, oh, wait a second, like this is something I'm really passionate about. And I could never do it professionally or anything like that. I've had people go, oh, you're so good at makeup, like can you do mine? And I've done makeup for other people, but it's hard. Yeah, I can't imagine like doing that professionally. Mm-hmm. I can't, every face is different and the angles are different, and just, you know, kudos to you for doing that for your profession, because I can't even, like, for some reason I'm much steadier when I'm doing it to myself. But I remember this one time my friend wanted me to do her makeup for prom, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and she was like, I don't want it to be too heavy, and I was like, I don't know how to do anything else but. And I remember her being like really mad at me. She was like, aww, oh my god. And I was like, no, I'm sorry, it looks really good, like, but
yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like, especially I hear a lot of like people that do makeup for weddings, it's like the bride is like, oh, I don't want a lot of makeup, and it's like, well, it's more than you think it is. Especially for photography, it's going to be kind of like when you're doing like in the theater, stage makeup is so heavy because you have to be able to see it from far away. Not quite as bad with professional photography or bridal, but like you still have to definitely wear more, I think, than you think because of photography and stuff.
Yeah, for when I did a little bit of bridal and I did a little bit of red carpet, and I feel like working with like normal people or people that don't wear a lot of makeup, it is, a lot of it is just like having to over communicate to them or like reassure them and like let them know like, yeah, I know this doesn't feel like how you want, but this is how it's going to look on camera. Like it's a lot of like having to like calm them down, you know, especially during like the consultation part. But I work nowadays, I work primarily in like the commercial and fashion world, and so luckily I work with people that like wear a lot of makeup a lot, and I don't do like glam makeup. Like a lot of the jobs that I'm doing are more like editorial or commercial, so it's very like light, more about like their skin shining through. So it's like a little bit different than bridal, but I do agree with like, you know, probably your friend, she was just, it probably looked amazing. Like she probably looked so good, but she was just like, dude, I don't feel like myself. But
yeah,
it's like, you know, sometimes that's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually wanted to say that I put on green on my eye for you today, Sawyer, because whenever I think about you and makeup, I think of you having like big, bright green eyes.
I love a green shadow. I am so upset. I didn't have time to. I the day that I went to see Wicked, I wanted to do one eye green and one eye pink, and I just didn't have the time. But maybe I'll do that just for fun one of these days.
Yeah. Speaking of Wicked, when I left the theater, I literally immediately was like, "What green body paint did they use on Cynthia Erivo?" Apparently, it's some Hollywood magic, and they made their own shit that didn't exist.
Wow!
Because I was like, "That is like the most beautiful body paint I've ever seen." Because Cynthia wanted to do the practical makeup, because they were like, "Oh, we can just like CG the green on you after," and she was like, "No." And I really respect that because every Elphaba on Broadway has to paint themselves green every single night. So I was like, that's cool.
Oh my God. Have you seen the de-greenifying videos where they take the green off at the end of the night?
No.
And then like there's also a video out there where it's a two-show day. So she has to get green twice because she takes it off in between shows. It's crazy.
Wow. That is crazy.
I can't imagine doing that all the time. I've painted myself once so far for a costume, and it was not as totally uncomfortable as I thought it was going to be, but like the removal process was a process.
It's the worst part.
Yeah, that's a lot of the time now. I feel like I used to be so much more into makeup because I didn't care as much about having to take it off. But now if I do a full face, then I'm like, then I care too much about skincare now. It's like, I got to spend all this time to take it all off. I can't just go to sleep like right. I used to be able to in my right. makeup, like in high school.
Oh, my mom college. Would never let me do that. I have, I have a thing about smells and textures. And so I really hate skincare products, and I only use a couple of them because I just, I can't. But my mom would never let me go to sleep with my makeup on. Oh my God. She would just be so paranoid about it and be like, you're going to get wrinkles. And I guess she had like a relative that had, who went to bed every night in her makeup and just looked very, very old when she was not that old. And so she was terrified that I was going to turn into that. But so I cannot relate to that. But, and I also just, I feel gross if I fall asleep in my makeup.
I do now too, for sure.
Yeah.
She was looking out for you. I still fall asleep on my makeup and I'm like, damn, I'm so lazy. Like,
and you know what? It used to happen to me a lot in college when I would go out and I would drink too much.
Right. I know. Yeah. It is a pain though.
You know, understandable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you wake up and there's like eyeliner all over your face and you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. I remember like in high school, I'd only wear like mascara and eyeliner, and I would never take it off before I went to bed, so I would wake up and my pillow was just like covered in black mascara and stuff. And it'd be worse, like, you know, when you're having like relationship troubles and you like cry yourself to sleep, and I wake up, I'm like, oh God, what happened?
Classic yeah. High school experience.
Honestly, yeah, it's that's what it is. But I feel like the mid late 2000s era, before like beauty YouTube like really became a thing, like that's when I went to high school, like makeup was so different than it is now. I mean, we didn't have like tutorials to watch to know how to do things right, so it was like right. I think I got my inspiration from like MySpace and like the scene Hell girls yeah. that I wanted to be.
Yep, it was very different time on the internet. I remember when I first started wearing makeup, I was very similar to you, Brooke, where I would just wear like the biggest cat eye, and my pair of lashes that I would wear, I think I got them from like a Halloween spirit. Like they were like spider lashes, but I wore those bitches like every day. Like, yeah, like I'm that girl. Like it. No. Okay. No,
we all have to go through though. Like, honestly, I feel like the generations now that like grow up being able to like just look up any tutorial about anything on the internet, I'm like, you guys don't have it as rough as we did. Not to sound like right. a boomer or anything, right. but like we had to go through the ugly phase.
Right. It's a rite of passage.
Rite of passage for
you
sure.
You gotta put like bright teal eyeshadow on with your fingers at some point, mm-hmm. and like the creamiest concealer ever, you know, and just walk out like that.
Yep.
Just see what happens.
I don't think I owned a makeup brush until like probably late college. Just everything Fair. Just, you know, hands yeah. and like those little disposable sponges you could buy at the store.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the only. I didn't know how to do my eyebrows until I was like 21. So I look back God. And I have a really light eyebrows because my natural hair color is a little bit lighter than this. And I have like very light eyelashes and very light eyebrows. And I never did anything to my eyebrows because I was like, you can't see them anyway. Doesn't matter if I pluck them or wax them or whatever. But now I look back at photos of me with like bleached, not bleach blonde eyebrows, but very light eyebrows that were like not shaped at all, and I'm like, dang, what was I thinking? I had one of my friends in college took me to get them threaded for the first time, and I was like, beauty is pain, I guess, but they looked really good. So
hell yeah. Do you dye your eyebrows now, or do you just color them in?
I just color them in, but I really want to start dyeing them, even if it's like weekly or every other week, because in my everyday life, especially I work outside almost every day, I'm like, I don't need to wear makeup, but I feel better about myself when I am like not super washed out. So I usually at least like wear mascara and like eyebrow gel. But if I can find a good product to use for my eyebrows, that would be nice. That would be a nice game changer. I've been lazy and have not looked into it.
Fair.
But I want to.
Well, I was going to say that my like trend prediction for the next eyebrow trend is bleached eyebrow. So you might be ahead of the game.
There you go.
That's one thing I'll never do.
Yeah, I don't. If I feel like it's a very specific type of person with a very specific aesthetic that can like pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when someone pulls it off, it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not that person.
I agree.
I was just gonna say, I've been using the same brow product for like 10 years and I probably will never stop as long as they keep making it. I use Anastasia Beverly Hills Dip Brow.
The best.
I swear by it.
I've been thinking about going back to it because every time I try a new eyebrow product, I'm like, this is not my dip brow.
Yeah, like soap brows are not for me. Like feathery, like light brows, it's not for me. No. Like I like to have a defined. Also, I've been threading my brows. I was a dancer for many, many years, and I had to get my dance teacher made me get my brows threaded when I was 12. Oh. And so my brows are messed up. Like they're never going to be beautiful like ever again because they've been shaped and like messed with, and ever since that day I have been doing my own plucking, so like, you know, I take care of my brows, but they're not in the way, they're not the way God intended them to be.
I see. Well, you shape them really nicely, like your brows are always on point.
Yeah, I do right now. Eyebrow trends that I do really like is like having it like shaved up above like the tail.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it does make a lot. Like I have not, I shave my eyebrows with the little shaver. Yeah. I used to get them threaded and then I was like, I don't feel like paying for this. And I hate plucking them because it makes my eyes water. And I'm like, I'm just going to do, and because they're so light, I can get away with, you know, not keeping them up all the time. But I just use the little like straight razor. But sometimes I haven't done it in a while, but I do will like cut the little tail off, and I do think it like makes everybody's like face look a little bit like
lifted. More
lifted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same. I do that as well because my brows, I feel like they're just like, I don't know. I have like the Asian eyebrow where it's like thin here and then it gets thicker in the back. You know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but anyways, I have to like, I shave them mm-hmm. also, and I just shave off the little tip so I can give myself a little like,
there you go.
You know, yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many like beauty things that I skip. I don't know. Like I've never gotten waxed. I'm just like, you know, I have my friends that are like, oh, I got like a full Brazilian, full wax or whatever. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like I want to pay money to do that.
Right.
I don't know. Right. Like, I don't even buy, I don't remember when it was. I think it was ever since I started like shaving my legs. I don't use shaving cream because I feel like it's wasteful like money. Yeah. So I just use my body wash when I shower.
Yeah.
And then I can never like, pluck
your leg hair.
No.
I do that sometimes.
Really? I have like one tiny hair that grows right below my belly button that I'm like,
cute.
If I forget to shave it in the shower, I will like just pluck it. But
this is great Patreon content.
You'll see how much of this weird shit gets in the full final episode. But
yeah,
just some random anecdotes about me. You know, but yeah. I guess we can talk a little bit about, I want to talk a little bit more like makeup in the pop culture scene. So in fandom, in cosplay. I would love to talk a little bit about beauty YouTubers because I think it's funny to reflect on the, I don't know, I assume that you are all around. I put Dramageddon on my,
yes.
on the outline because I just wanted to just highlight
where
that.
Were that you when?
Right. Dramageddon 1 or Dramageddon 2? Which one are we talking about?
Oh, God.
We can't even keep
I
track.
I don't remember which one's which.
Right. Dramageddon 1 is with like Jeffree Star. I mean, Jeffree Star was involved in both of them, but Dramageddon 1 had like Jeffree, Manny, Laura Lee.
Yeah,
that one was like a big deal at the time, but then mm-hmm. I feel like the big Dramageddon was like James Charles losing like millions of subscribers in like 24 yeah. hours and like the Tati
hair gummies.
Oh my gosh. I know. I remember like I was texting my best friend because he also wears makeup and we would like watch these beauty YouTubers mm-hmm. together. We were like texting each other like, oh my god, can you believe what's happening? Like we're like on Reddit, on lolcow, like we're in it, like good times. That was crazy. Yeah.
I remember, I'm trying to think of like who are, I watched a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they all had drama at some point. And someone I liked who wasn't involved in a lot of the drama was Raw Beauty Christie, but apparently she like went down the granola alt-right mom pipeline.
Yeah, I know.
I saw something about that recently and I was like, shit, I liked her.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Whoa. I know.
Crazy.
I think that Nikki Tutorials has stayed unproblematic. I love her.
Yeah.
And I don't really watch like beauty YouTube or beauty TikToks or anything like that anymore. But sometimes I do, but like it's not really what comes up on my FYP. But she, you know, every once in a while I'll see her and she's just always been so fun. And really the only thing she was ever involved in is the fact that somebody outed her, which was horrible. But yeah, I mean, who isn't problematic in the beauty space? Almost all of them. And even, you know, I feel like we've seen that transcend into TikTok. I feel like there's been a lot of drama. It hasn't been quite the same as Dramageddon, but you know, the things that I've seen about like Michaela and
Jeffree coming for her like recently.
What is he doing? He's just like on TikTok live every day.
I know.
Trying to stay relevant. I don't know.
trying. Apparently he makes a ton of money doing it, but I don't understand. It's like, why are people, I don't understand why people still give him attention.
Right. I think it's because he can't be bought. So he's going to tell you if something sucks, which I think there is like a big lack of like honesty, especially in like the beauty space, or I guess anywhere where like you start to receive like income from companies. So I understand the appeal of Jeffree Star in that way, but he's such a shithead. Like
he's a terrible person. And there was a time, I mean, when I was like a young impressionable child and stupid, where I was like, I bought into that. I bought into the honesty and the, oh, he has so much money, he's always going to give an honest opinion. And I would trust his opinions. But then all of the things that came out about him and kind of all at once, it was like, oh my God, you can't ignore that.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%. It's like, okay. Like, that's cool. We can just make our own opinions. We don't have to rely on problematic people.
Just fascinating how in rapid succession, one after the other, all of them are revealed to be these horrific human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And not even a lot of it is like, it wasn't even because of the fame. Like, it was like things from their past where that were dug up and it's like, oh my God, what the heck?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's crazy. Can I just say, I was just thinking about this because I remembered thinking about this when we were there over New York Comic Con. Sawyer and I both went to the box lunch New York Comic Con like after party thing, which was really cool. It was really fun. But everyone was like actually having fun and like dancing. And all I can think about is hearing all of these like beauty YouTuber, like influencer type stories of like these influencer parties where everybody looks like they're having fun, but they're all just like on their phones the entire time, or like they just take a fun selfie and then no one's talking to each other. And I just can't help but think of the stark difference between that and like the nerdy influencer party where everyone was just drinking and dancing
having a good time.
And then we did an Irish goodbye.
Right. Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, I've been in some like influencer spaces like that. And it is just so weird. Like the vibe is just off. Everyone is just pretending. Like, I feel like no one is real, at least in like the spaces that I've been in where I'm like, oh, okay. Like, and I'm not an influencer at all. So I'm just kind of like, oh, like we're just, okay, we're not going to talk to each other. We're not going to say hi. This is really weird. Like,
yeah. I've definitely met influencers in the nerdy space that are like that, but for the vast majority is not, I would say. I think when you reach a certain level of status, it's hard not to be like that. Especially because there are people, you know, like we got to go to the box lunch party, but there were people who were like paid to go to the box lunch party and like sponsored by box lunch and stuff. And like, once you reach a certain tier, it's like, oh, okay. You're too hot for me. Like,
I will say though, like most of though, like for me, I'm always very afraid to approach anybody that I deem has like more status than I do. I don't. It's just something that's even when I was like a kid, like I hated going up and talking to my teacher because I was afraid that I was like wasting their time, even though that's literally their job. Anyway, I feel like most of the time, I would say like 90% of those people. They even if they appear that way, they're also like genuinely very nice if you were to go up and talk to them. But I think Sawyer's right. There is a level of like status that they just exude, you know, after a certain. And maybe it's because we're a kind of in the realm of like micro influencer in the Star Wars fandom space. Everyone's kind of like, we're all just chilling because we're doing this for fun, not so much for money. But I like to think that I picked the right side of like the content creator world to be in.
Yeah, it's more fun. Yeah, I feel like we're way more like community based. I mean, you guys started a whole podcast to like relate to other femmes in the in the space. So I think our agenda might be like a little bit different, at least at this point in our careers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Who knows? Yeah, who knows when you're getting paid to go to box lunch, what it's going to be like.
You know, maybe one day.
Maybe next year. Maybe coming up.
Maybe. Manifest some good stuff for YapSesh in 2025.
Sponsorships, you know.
Listen, if there are any people that work for brands that listen to YapSesh and wanted us to do advertisements on our podcast or your brand, our email is in our bio. I think it's at yapseshpod@gmail.com.
And they'll think about it because they're really busy.
Yeah, we're really busy.
They have a lot of inquiries, so.
Exactly. You got to play hard to get a little bit. Right. But anyway, shifting gears a little to more of like the nerdy space of makeup. I would love to talk a little bit about what you've done or what we've all done as far as combining our two interests. Mm. Like if you've done, I know Sawyer just said you were going to do a Wicked makeup look. I know I've done like Star Warsy influenced makeup before for different things. I did like a Night Sister look a couple times, that kind of thing. Yeah. What about y'all?
You can go first, Sawyer. Oh, I've been talking so much. I'm so sorry.
You're our guest. Please.
We want to hear from you.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, like I said before, like I did that one Infinity War look, and then that kind of inspired me to do other themed looks. I think one of my favorites that I ever did was for No Way Home. I did like a spiderweb eyeliner and then a bright red and blue look that just turned out as perfectly as I could have possibly imagined. I'm not the best at graphic liner. I'm much better with eyeshadow, but you know, I whenever I get an idea like that, I've done like an Ahsoka look before, and I love to at the very least match my nerdy outfit to you know, what's on my face. Like, you know, I did a Revan look once. I used to, back in the like lore days of my content, I would always try to match my eyes to whatever I was talking about that day. So lots of colorful looks like that, you know. But what about you, Crystal? Because I feel like you have the most expertise on this topic.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say, for people that don't know, like, I actually met Sawyer from Twitter, and I had reached out to her because, like, her makeup was so sick. I think it was, like, your eyeshadow is matching your hair, and I really want to meet, like, other, like, girls or femmes in this space, and you had makeup on, you were posting really cool looks, and you're talking about science in your post, and I was like, oh, I need to reach out to this girl. But yeah, I love the looks that you do. I love that they're really bright and really colorful. So I just want to say that I think that's really, really cool. And part of why I wanted to like be friends with you. Like, I was like, girl, we speak the same language. But for me, I've done like a bunch of like Star Wars inspired looks, kind of like how Sawyer said that she will kind of coordinate her makeup to her topic. I've tried to do things like that. Also on my YouTube, I'll talk about like a character, or I'll talk about a show, and I'll usually be doing my makeup at the same time, kind of like a get ready with me. Mm-hmm. I just did like a Ventress video where I did like a look that was inspired by her. I don't really do like turning myself into Ahsoka or like cosplaying stuff. So I kind of do like what I can, like, how do I take this character's essence or design and how do I translate that into like a beauty or a glam or an editorial look? So I've done a few of those. I've done like a Boba Fett, Ahsoka, you know, things like that. I used to be really into nail art. So I would do like, I did like Ahsoka nails that like went viral on TikTok. They're all over Pinterest, and I'm like, dang, no one knows that it was me. And I've done Padme nails also, but I recently got into doing martial arts, so I can't have any nails. So it actually is like such a big bummer for me. But yeah, I think it's been a really cool way to, at least for my content, to kind of signal to other women or other people that are interested in makeup, like, hey, like, I'm there with you. Because, you know, we are in a very male-dominated space, and it's very easy to, like, appeal to the male gaze and appeal to, like, that side of the fandom, but I'm not interested in them, you know? Like, I want to be here with the girlies, the gays, and the theys. And it's, like, how do I do that, especially as, like, a cis heterosexual woman? Like, how do people know that I'm an ally? And I'm, like, let me put on makeup. Oh, I should also mention, sorry, it's my ADHD, like, bouncing back and forth, but I used to do makeup videos like back in like 2016. So my YouTube journey has been a really long one, and it wasn't until 2020 that I started doing Star Wars. And then about a few months in is when I was like, oh, I should do makeup and Star Wars. Like, what am I doing? So
Yeah. I agree. I was just thinking, I feel like there should be more people that do get ready with me, like, lore videos, or like get ready with me talking about, you know, the episode of the newest Star Wars thing, like Skeleton Crew, when it comes out. Cause it is a very male dominated fandom. I mean, it's growing every day with more femmes and queers. And the queers, including myself, I'm not being a slander. I'm not slandering anybody. Okay. I'm gay. It is easy to cater to that side of the audience. Like, I see a lot of the creators that post very mostly Star Wars things. They don't focus on anything feminine in that way. So when I see like Isabella Amidala, we've had on our channel before, she does like inspired fashion looks for different Star Wars characters, and I really appreciate that. And then everyone that does like the Disney bounds are great, but I love when those creators will do not just Disney bounds, but also like just things that are very wearable, like every day, like not just to the parks, that are inspired by characters. And so I just want to see more of that stuff, because I think we need it, and it's great.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool unexplored side of the fandom because it has been like so lore heavy or so theory heavy. It's like, you know, like you have a R2-D2 mug. Like what about like the lifestyle of Star Wars? Mm-hmm. Or like, what about like the lifestyle of being fans and like, what does that look like? And mm-hmm. for me, I try to do that through like the makeup or fashion, or that's how we connect to other people or kind of like signal to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just thinking about my lifestyle choices, whether it's like home decor or mm-hmm. even like passively, like I have so many things from not sponsored, but we could be like box lunch clothing, like nerdy cardigans and sweaters and stuff. And I always try to combine all of that thing, all of those things, or even if I'm wearing like a normal regular outfit, I'll put like my nerdy earrings or a nerdy necklace on. Mm-hmm. So I love that we can incorporate those things and that more people are starting to incorporate that stuff into their content. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, because I feel like even now when I like I'll roll up, I'll go, you know, I don't care. I will wear a Five Nights at Freddy's sweatshirt to school. I'll wear it to work. I don't care. Like I'm a nerd, and that's very integral to my identity. And but the amount of people that will stop me and go, "Oh my God, I love your jacket." You know, I have a Sonic the Hedgehog like racing jacket, and people always stop me and they're like, "Oh my God, your jacket's so cool," or "Oh my God, I love your sweatshirt," or whatever it is that I'm wearing. And it kind of surprises me because I'm like, "Oh, like this is what I always wear." Mm-hmm. But I think when we're in this like nerdy space, it's like some people are not, they still don't like have the confidence to go out in the world and wear that stuff, even though they might be interested in it. So I think everything we're talking about, and like, just like you said, Crystal, like trying to signal to people like, "Hey, like there are more of us. There are people like us out here mm-hmm. and we're cool and we're nerds and we are, you know, going about our everyday lives as nerdy as possible." I think that's so cool. And it creates such a safe environment, and it just, you know, it shifts the perspective for me a little bit, because I'm always surprised when someone, like, oftentimes I will interpret it as like, "Oh, are they making fun of me? Like, are they making fun of me mm-hmm. for the nerdy stuff that I'm wearing?" Like one time I was at a thrift store and this girl came up to me and she was like, "I love your style. You should totally think about, if you have anything you're donating, like you should totally think about donating to our store." And I was wearing the most autistic outfit I've ever worn in my life. And I was like, I think it was like Lightning McQueen Crocs and like my Sonic jacket. And like, I don't know. It was a very like safe autism outfit for me. And I was like, are she making fun of me? But really, I think it's people are just admiring the confidence that they don't have mm-hmm. to wear stuff like that in yeah. public.
I think that's such a good conversation starter too. I don't know like if it's a neurodivergent thing or what, but I have trouble starting conversations or thinking about things to talk about with anybody. That's the autism. But like, especially talking about my interests, like if I'm wearing something Star Wars and someone comes up to me and they're like, "Oh, I love your shirt." And then they can then continue the conversation and be like, "Oh, did you watch XYZ? Did you watch the new thing or whatever?" When I had I work at a preschool, and when we had back to school night, I was wearing my D20 earrings that I made, and I had one of the dads come up to me and we talked for like 20 minutes about Dungeons and Dragons, and it was super cool. And it was only because I was wearing those earrings that he knew to ask that. And I think because like, we know that we like those things because we wear those things. Mm-hmm. For me, I like don't know how to approach that subject to somebody else if I don't know that they already like that thing.
Right.
You know, because I've talked to people about Star Wars or cosplaying or whatever, and you can kind of tell that they're like, "Happy for you, but I have nothing to contribute to this conversation." Right. So
their
I really
eyes glaze over.
Yeah. And I just know, and I can't help but keep yapping about it because it's the neurodivergent brain. I have to get all my thoughts out before I can stop the conversation. But so I really appreciate when other people can appreciate the confidence that people like us have to wear that stuff, but then also talk about it with us, because like it gives them the confidence to talk about how much they enjoy something. And it's like, cool. Now, you know, we see each other now.
Right. I agree. I wear like Star Wars socks, or I have like my little phone cases Grogu, have like a little Grogu ear pod case, and I'm always like, do you think they know I'm a Star Wars fan? You know, because I'm like waiting for someone to come tell me like, oh, is that Grogu? And I'm like, yes.
That's how I am in the gym. I wear like all my nerdy t-shirts and stuff in the gym. I had my Baby Yoda socks, Grogu socks on at the gym, and like a muscle mommy came up to me and she was like, I love your socks. And I was like, yes, thank you. And also, I love you.
Right.
I want to look like you.
Right. I also think like, oh, something just fell. Anyway, one of my pins fell. Oh my God. Anyways, I also think like us being in a fandom space like Star Wars that is so male dominated, and us wearing like pink hair, bright makeup, fashion, I think it is almost kind of like rebellious too, because it's like, yeah, like I can be a girly girl and I can like Star Wars. Like I can like makeup and I can still keep up with y'all. Like I don't need to like, you know, be like, I don't want to make any stereotypes, but we definitely are not the stereotype. And I love that.
Yeah. And it feels even better almost when a guy, usually it's a guy, will question you. No way. It will question you about your interest or your fan card or whatever. And then you can show them up and it's like, yeah. And I did it all with a green cut crease. Fuck off.
Right. And I look better than you.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. That's fun. I was thinking about this when I was making the outline, or when Sawyer first told me what subject we were going to talk about, because we always ask our guests if they have a subject they like to bring or a topic, which is awesome because I can't think of that many topics. And so when somebody else brings something cool, I'm like, hell yeah. I didn't think to talk about that, but now that we are, you know, we've been yapping for an hour about makeup. When I think about like beauty and makeup and fandom and Star Wars, I always think of Padme, because I feel like, speaking of girly girls, she is somebody who always has to like look 10 out of 10 and is also very competent and like is very smart and intelligent and capable. So I think that's cool. I think that's she's a cool role model for young girls that are Star Wars fans that also like want to be girly. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, same. And I like that the makeup for Padme is also like functional in the first movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it like serves as like a decoy or like a disguise, you know, and it's just so iconic. Like Padme in the first movie, incredible. Like Padme all the time, actually incredible. But I love that she like does her hair, wears wigs, like has like nice outfits. And granted, like she is like royalty and like she is like of a higher class, but I still really love that. Some of my favorite makeup from Star Wars is from Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace, like the dancer girls. Like,
oh yeah,
I love it. It's so tacky. It's so bright, and I just love that. I love that kind of makeup. I love that it's like such character makeup.
Yeah, as Star Wars, they definitely have the freedom to be more eccentric in their makeup, and like, just because the galaxy is filled with other species that aren't just humans, so that they can do like some crazy effects. And I'm like, so one of my big interests is
my cat.
I was gonna say, is that Carlton in the background?
Yeah. I saw a little tail in the corner of my eye. I really love practical effects. Like when I find out that something was done practically, it like blows my mind. And that includes like prosthetics for costuming. This isn't Star Wars, but I'm still like, I just watched the Penguin series, and I do not understand how Colin Farrell is under there. Like, it's so, and I haven't watched a video of how they were like doing all the prosthetic makeup and prosthetic stuff for the Penguin, and I'm like, I don't believe him. I don't believe it that he's inside of there, because it's too good. Like, it's so good. But so I love like being able to come seeing how they combine makeup with special effects and prosthetics, because I also do like costuming and cosplay stuff, and I'm trying to break out into more like body painting and wearing horns and things. I did a Karlach cosplay, so I'm like always learning, trying to learn how people do things, either professionally or like in the cosplay space. So I think it's so cool. It's like, I love learning about all of that.
Yeah, effects is like a whole other monster. I definitely have respect for effects artists, and I think it's really cool now, like presently I'm seeing a lot of effects artists that feel like a lot more modern in the way that they're applying their makeup or are doing it in a way that feels more current, because I think for a while it felt very like old school. But yeah, their technique and their, you have to like really love that, you know, you have to really love doing effects, and it is really incredible the techniques that they can do.
Yeah. And I love that, especially in Star Wars, we're seeing more and more of a return to practical effects.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing finally, I feel like this has been a want because the sequels were so lacking in them, but we're finally seeing more prominent characters of different species, which is so cool. I think of like Jeki in The Acolyte, such a cool character design, and someone, a character who inspired, I saw a lot of makeup looks inspired by Jeki, which was so cool. But yeah, it's been really cool too. And I think it's not just Star Wars. I think that there has been a cultural demand to see more practical effects, whether it be with makeup or with like special effects in terms of things, and or you know, practical sets and things like that. And it's just been so cool to see a renaissance of that in all my favorite fandoms. But I think of I think again of Wicked, just because it's relevant right now, and watching the process for them to greenify Cynthia Erivo. Looking back on it, it was, they were using modern makeup techniques to create, like, yes, it was green and she's green and that's like not a natural color to be working with, but the way that they applied the green and the way that they came up with the green to use was with modern makeup tech in mind, because they wanted it to look like this person was and always had been green. So, you know, they had to figure out what green freckles would complement the complexion and what material to use for the foundation for it to look like skin, and like, how do we contour the green and all of these things. And that's just really cool to see.
Right. Yeah. This is actually like my biggest pet peeve to talk about. And sometimes I don't like to talk about it because I don't like to be so negative. But like, I think the use of like not practical effects has been like awful for media and TV, because it's like I love the volume technology. I think that it's really cool and really great that we have that. But I think, for example, in Star Wars, the reliance on it has just been too much. And then we get things like Hera Syndulla and Ahsoka, where she's green and it looks awful. And I think it's because like they shot her in a space that wasn't real. They lit her for a space that wasn't real. And so the makeup just didn't translate for that. And I think, you know, when we have two green characters like Alphaba and Hera, like, why did Alphaba work? And I think you do have a point about it being like more modern techniques and a little bit more thought out than how Hera was. But I think because of the way they shot Hera, the makeup should have been done differently. Like, she's so flat. That color was,
it was like, so
Why did we choose this color? Gosh.
It was so flat. I don't know what they were thinking. This is it. And I know, like, every time there's something Star Wars that comes out, people complain about XYZ or what a character looks like how Ahsoka's montrals or whatever were too short. Like, fine. Like, those things are like, okay, whatever, complain, you try to do it. But then that is that the Hera thing was one thing that I was just like, it just doesn't look good. Like, it looks like she was someone painted green and not, and compared to like, we've had other Twi'leks in live action Star Wars, and they, maybe because they haven't been in the forefront, but like, what's her face from Book of Boba Fett, who was, she was orange, not green. I can't remember her name now. R.I.P.
Garsif Whip.
Yes.
Garsif Whip. Yeah. R.I.P. Mommy. But like, she looked amazing. I'm like, whoever they did the makeup on that, like, and that was filmed on the volume too. So I don't know, but I think a lot of green is a hard color, I think, in general to work with. Yeah. But like, I don't know.
It really felt to me like they just took like the color picker on a picture of animated Hera and they were like, okay, it's this green. We need to use this green instead of going like they did for Alphaba. How can we translate this green character into a world that feels fully realized? And I think
that was also for the skin tone of the actor and how is it going to work with the lighting? Like, I feel like they didn't think about any of that stuff.
And I think that regardless of who played Hera, it would have been the same green. Like, that's really how it felt. And I feel the same way about the contacts, right?
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
It was just like, oh, what is their exact eye color? It was almost, and it's funny because like you have situations like there was always a big gripe about Harry Potter not having green eyes in the movies. That was always a thing within like Harry Potter fans would be like, why doesn't he have green eyes? And it's like, okay, well, you know, I think in that case they tried and Daniel Radcliffe like really had irritation to the contacts or something. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like they were trying to avoid that by just going, oh, okay, let's use the exact color from the animated series, which is so bizarre too, because like Rebels has such a unique animation style that doesn't translate well to live action if you're trying to just make it a carbon copy. But
I don't think Thrawn looked as bad. He still felt a little flat to me, like skin wise, but I don't know. It was something about the Ahsoka series in general. I think they were able to perfect Ahsoka's look because they had done it before with the Mandalorian, and then in the Book of Boba Fett, she looked even better so that she could look even better, you know, round three with her series. I feel like they just didn't have enough time. And maybe that's also part of the problem, not to like put like the blame on the makeup artists. I just feel like they're not given enough time to do like proper screen testing with the makeup and the costumes to see what is going to look the best. Like they did with Wicked, because Wicked, they had, you know, they've been working on this movie for years and years and years. So not to like, you know, give the artists a little bit of slack for that.
No, I mean, I wonder if they'll change it for season two.
I mean, if they get a new makeup team, I can see it being different. But if it's the same makeup team. How,
like the outrage of Bo-Katan and they changed Bo-Katan, like, and they I think they do listen to feedback. Yeah, they continued to work on Ahsoka because at first her first iteration of the Montrolls was like not well received, and now they look much, much better. I mean, to be honest, I don't have that eye. I'm not a makeup artist. I'm not a professional. I might look at something like Ezra's contacts and be like, okay, that's uncanny and it's weird, but it doesn't take me out of the narrative, or it doesn't like bother me to a point where I can't enjoy something usually. But I mean, that's just me. I can tell when something is badly CG'd, but depending on what the context is, it doesn't usually bother me. It's just like, oh, whoa, okay, that special effect did not land, you know what I mean? Like,
I can't believe they were gonna do Alphaba in post. That's crazy.
Yeah, they offered that and Cynthia was like, no.
Why would you? Why?
What do you mean? Why would you do that? Yeah.
I wonder, has everyone seen Wicked?
Yes, I'm obsessed.
Yeah. I wonder about the scene in The Wizard and I when they ungreenify her for a second. I wonder if that was shot in real life.
I think it was lighting. I think it was a trick of the light. I was just about to say, I was going to ask if you'd seen that or if we'd all seen it, because I think it was, because when you mix green and red light, it like they, because they're opposite colors, they cancel each other out, which is why you put like green, you can put like green over like red, like blotches on your face or acne or whatever. And it's supposed to like do color whatever correct. To the color correct. I think that's what it was. Like, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
Like, interesting. Yeah.
But I just think about, like, I can't even imagine. And obviously, this is because it's professional and it's beyond the scope of any kind of makeup I could ever do or be in contact with. But I think about the scene where she's crying, the dance floor scene. Ugh. So, oh my God. Best part of the whole movie.
I was like, am I going to cry right now?
I'm like, how did that not smudge her makeup? Like, what is going on? What is this trickery? She's green and it's all practical. And that didn't, like, I suppose they could have CG'd a tear, but that looked real to me.
I think it was real. Yeah. I watched an interview where it wasn't scripted and it just happened. Oh, but the thing about, like, crying with makeup, if you have, like, a good set to the makeup, as long as you don't wipe it, it won't come off. So it could have just been the type, you know.
Mystery solved.
Yeah, because, you know, like, have you ever, like, taken a shower with makeup on and then as long as you don't, like, rub it, it stays on?
Yeah. Well, I did, you know what, when I was at the Renaissance Fair, I saw two people dressed as Jester and Molly from Critical Role, and I came up to them because I love Critical Role, and I was like, I need to know what body paint you're using, because it was like 90 degrees outside and they looked really good. And there's, like, as long as you get, like, a water resistant or waterproof base, like, nothing, like, there's no water does not, like, on its own does not, like, take that shit off. So
yeah, you can also have, like, alcohol makeup where, like, you and that won't come off. That really won't come off unless you use alcohol. But yeah, that was so good, that moment. I was like, oh shit, I'm feeling things.
That's so good. I was just thinking, like, on the opposite end of the spectrum of, like, super cool body paint, cool effects on makeup, I'm fascinated in movies and TV, especially Everybody Drink. Brooke's going to talk about zombies.
Yeah.
Because I love The Last of Us, if you didn't already know. But I also love The Walking Dead, and I'm, like, amazed when I watch these things, and no one looks like they're wearing makeup, but I know that they are because it's for screen and you have to wear some makeup at least for when you're filming. And I'm just like, I just want to know what they use, especially for, like, the base or, like, mascara. Because I'm like, when I put mascara on, it looks like I'm wearing mascara. How do I make that not happen? And it's so cool. And I can't remember her name. There's a girl on TikTok that does a lot of, like, recreations of makeup from movies and TV. And she does a lot of, like, natural. I can't remember her name, but she's awesome. But she did, like, Daenerys's makeup from Game of Thrones, because she doesn't look like she's wearing makeup half the time. And then she did the looks from Pride and Prejudice, who apparently the makeup artist said that they didn't actually use makeup. They used, like, time period appropriate products for those looks, but I don't believe them.
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, anyway, I'm just amazed at when they can make actors look like they're not wearing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, takes a lot of restraint. I remember when I first started doing commercial work, it was just like, is this enough makeup? Because it's, like, so minimal. But I feel like there's, like, a beauty in the simplicity of it, because to get it to look good and still translate on camera, like, it's a lot of work, actually. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Especially, like, catching up to all day.
Because you can have, like, really flawless face, but, like, most of the time you can still tell that somebody's wearing like foundation or whatever on their face. Mm-hmm. So when I see somebody and it, like, I know that they're wearing something, but it doesn't look like it, I'm just, like, mind blown.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's a lot of layering. I do have these. I brought, like, all my Star Wars makeup palettes.
Oh yeah.
You guys have any of these?
I
have some of the ColourPop ones.
Yeah, I forgot that there's the brands that have done the ColourPop, they've done, like, the collabs with Star Wars. I don't think I have any of them, to be honest.
The first one was the Grogu one. Oh my God, it's so dirty. And then the Mando one. I'm actually wearing this one today.
Star Wars, a lot of Star Wars fans are big collectors. So I feel like even if you aren't big into makeup, those are, like, cool collectors.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is the Pat McGrath one.
Ooh.
And then I also have this one here. I've been thinking about ordering the other ones off of Amazon, but they're so expensive. And I bet you they're expired by now, so it really would be a collector's piece.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, do I just do it? Like
me putting on my 8-year-old modern Renaissance palette every
right.
day
right.
when I just makeup.
Right.
And pretend that this has been really fun.
Yes.
So, Crystal, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us about all this cool stuff.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yay.
I'm glad. Every time we hear that, I'm like, wow, my heart is full.
Proper yap sesh.
I'm always scared. Yes. I'm like, we're going to have a guest and they're going to have a terrible time and it's going to be awful. And every time, like, people have been like, no, this was super fun. I'm like, okay, cool. Because sometimes, like, if we're, you know, having an off day and we record, I'm like, I don't know if that episode was good or if they had a good time. But then I know Sawyer said, like, every time you go back to edit things, you're like, oh, this is actually really great.
Great episode. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not how today felt. Today felt really great.
No, today felt great.
I need a good yap sesh. But Crystal, if you could let everybody know one more time where we can find your stuff and if you have any cool things that you're working on and like to plug or shout them out, please.
Cool. Yeah. So you guys can find me, Crystal Kuiper, on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. I also have a fandom for clothing brand. It's getbadfeeling.com if you are interested in like fandom clothing, but like we're trying to make it like cool, you know, not
it is cool. I've seen it in person.
So that's like my big thing that I'm working on is Bad Feeling. That's like my baby. That's how I am contributing to the community other than videos, but that's really like my most tangible thing right now. So I'm really proud of it. Thanks for letting me talk about it. And I'm so happy to be here to talk about makeup with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And everybody listening or watching, thank you so much. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and we will yap with y'all in the next one.